Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Michael Wald, and you're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. This is the fourth show installation on PRN, the first few shows covering topics such as how to nutritionally and medically interpret your own laboratory work the blood detective way, and the second show was on vitamin lies, where I covered many of the myths and facts and misunderstanding regarding supplements and how to take them and what they actually do. And today's topic is on detox, and it's called, appropriately enough, Detox Deception. And the reason I chose this topic is because there are lots of falsities out there regarding the concepts of detox and therefore the methods of detox. So I hope to clarify some of that. For those of you who are new to my particular show, once again, I'm Dr. Michael Wald. I'm the Director of Nutritional Services at Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco, located in Westchester, New York. That's about 55 or so minutes by the Metro North or by car from New York City. I can be reached at 914-242-8844. And I really would like to know what your opinions are regarding the show topics that I choose. All of them so far I chose based on your emails and your phone calls. So please post your questions and let me know of your show topic wants and needs by going to my blog at www.integratednutritionny.com and just click on the blog section. Or you can email your questions and ideas to me at info@integratednutritionny.com or info@blooddetective.com. And for those of you who don't know why I call myself the blood detective, well, it actually was a name given to me by a grateful patient in the past where I diagnosed her health issues quite quickly after years of searching. And she's doing very well right now with her multiple sclerosis. And her husband simply said to me, "You're like a blood detective." And I love the name and I wear it as a badge of honor. And whenever I'm dealing with a difficult patient or client in terms of health problem, which is every single day practically, I think of the term blood detective and it just helps me work harder. So it's my work ethic, but it's also a holistic mindedness that I take to each conversation with a person. With an education as expansive as mine, I'm able to draw upon knowledge from many diverse areas of health and disease care, such as medicine, having graduated medical school, but also I'm a doctor of chiropractic, and I have a master's degree in human nutrition. I'm a double board certified nutritionist. I'm also a dietitian, a certified clinical nutritionist, a certified nutritional specialist, and I'm a double certified sports nutritionist. I have other credentials, but I just wanted to make the point that I sought these credentials out not for the sake of having more letters after my name, but because I wanted to expose myself to different thoughts and philosophies and learn them from a holistic mindedness so that I could take them into the natural healthcare field. So having said that, let's talk about today's topic. Once again, it is detoxification, and the title is Detox Deception. So why don't I start with, what is detoxification? And I'm going to make sure to go over and reiterate and say in different ways and give examples of every major concept discussed for this topic, like I do with all my other topics. And I think you need to think about this show more than just a show. To be perfectly honest with you, I've listened to the prior shows that I've done, and they're more like a master's program in nutrition. You're going to hear things on Ask the Blood Detective that you simply will not hear elsewhere because some of my colleagues simply do not have the 26 years of experience that I have, not to mention the breadth of educational credentials that allow me to do this right. So, detoxification is a concept. of removing toxins from the body. That's basically what it is. And detoxification involves the entire body. All cells, every single cell of the body, carries out some sort of detoxification. And when it fails to do so, those various cells die. And cells compose organs, tissues, and glands. So if detoxification is inadequate and cells become toxic, then we're going to have some degree of organ or glandular or tissue or cellular dysfunction that may be very gradual over a very long period of time, such that years of toxicity may not show up for decades producing symptoms. And this is very confusing to some people. I saw a young woman just last week, just 30 years old, who just never thought about the fact that she's the example of drinking a lot and using some recreational drugs and not eating well for many years of her young life and feeling just fine. And only recently, many years after treating herself so badly, starting to feel unwell. And she wondered why that was, because more recently, the last few years, she was eating extremely well, taking nutritional supplements, and I have to admit they looked pretty good on paper. And I had to explain to her that just like radiation, which is cumulative over time, meaning we may not have cancer resulting from radiation for years or even decades after initial exposures have added up in the body, just like bad lifestyle habits and eating habits she had years ago, they just simply caught up to her. So many of my patients feel that they're able to identify symptoms and issues from toxins while they're being exposed. And most of the time, that's just not true for the reason I just said. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more very soon. I should back up and define what a toxin is. And a toxin is basically a substance that causes detrimental effects in the body. And it's either a chemical compound or group of compounds that are either produced in the body normally as a result of various normal physiology and human aging, or are produced in the body due to abnormalities, or are obtained from the environment. So there are environmental toxins known as exogenous toxins outside of the body, and there are toxins made in the body known as endogenous toxins. Now, here's a concept you probably won't hear anywhere else other than on Ask the Blood Detective, but when we're exposed to a toxin, whether it's a medication, whether it's a toxin in food, it doesn't really matter. Most toxins must be detoxified in such a way that they go through various processes in the body, like the liver, for example, which is not the only organ of detox, or necessarily the most important organ of detox, as we'll see in a few minutes. And as those toxins go through the process of detoxification, they're transformed. They're transformed from a kind of a toxin that lingers in the body, creating detrimental effects upon the health, and are converted into what are known as water-soluble toxins, so they can be eliminated through the urine. That process of transforming toxins from what are known as fat-soluble toxins that stay in the body for a long period of time, which most toxins are fat-soluble, to becoming water-soluble and more easily excreted toxins. Between that step one and step two, there's an intermediate phase. And that's actually what it's called in toxicology textbooks, where various toxins become more toxic than what they were originally. And if they fail to get through detox phase one and move to detox phase two, if they get stuck in that intermediate phase in the body, a person becomes a lot worse. You know, sometimes a practitioner might have told you when you're feeling worse during your detox efforts that, oh, don't worry, that's just detox. Well, no, that can be you're getting much worse. And detoxification, by the way, usually does not create symptoms. We'll talk about this again soon, so you need to hang on. So for those experienced detoxifiers out there, this show is going to really open your eyes. And for the newbies to the concept of detoxification, you probably need to listen to the show a couple of times. As I said at the opening of the show, this is more like a master's course. I intend to stuff as much practical information into all of my shows because each of these shows will become translated into a book called The True Detox, which will be the most practical, true write-up of what detoxification is, how you can know how to detoxify. And that's essentially what this show is about. The first myth about detoxification is that you can take some detox tea or go through some detox protocol, and just because you feel better and you get so-called detox symptoms or your bowel movements increase, that's detoxification. That is not necessarily detoxification. The first thing is that if you don't know the specific toxin or toxins you're removing, how can these generalized approaches possibly work? The answer is they cannot work. For example, there's three different types of mercury. They're not all detoxified the same. They don't all require the same nutrition and physiology in the body to become transformed and to get removed from the body. So you can see with the examples of mercury that there's a different way of detoxing it than, let's say, cadmium or lead or hormones that you want to detox through the body, like converting estradiol, a highly potentially cancerous form of estrogen, to much less damaging or even healthful forms of estrogen known as estrone and estriol. So I'm hoping you're getting the idea that detoxification must be specific. It cannot be general. And just because you feel better going through some detox process does not mean whatsoever that you've detoxed anything. So having said this, it's important that a variety of detoxification tests are performed. So there are tests of specific toxins, and sometimes those are important, although many of them are unreliable. For example, you've probably heard of the best mercury or best metals testing. Well, there is no best test for mercury or metals because metals hide out or sequester themselves in a variety of organs. So the best test might be a combination of urinary metals testing, serum levels, and red blood cell levels. But on the other hand, and this is important you hear this, before you begin a detox effort, whatever the toxins are, metals or anything else, it's important, I believe, and this is the foundation of my blood detective detox laboratory workup that I do in each patient wishing to truly detox, is to look at most all areas of the body, because the liver, for example, is a detox organ, but so is the intestinal tract overall. You can't detox anything if you have low or no stomach acid. If you have cardiovascular issues, the cardiovascular system is a detoxification system, just like the lymphatic system is, and like the pulmonary system, the integument system, which is the skin. So depending on the toxin or toxins you want to remove, you may want to move those toxins through specific detox pathways. If I see a patient, like I did this last week, who has some degree of kidney failure, and that's going around a lot, particularly for people over 50. It's even expected in medicine, and nothing's done unless the person's in a hospital. I am not going to want to stress the kidneys or the renal system to remove a toxin. I may want to use nutrition that persuades that toxin to become detoxified and then eliminated from the body through organs that can handle the detoxification effort. So this is a concept I see almost entirely absent from some of the protocols of detox of some of my colleagues. And that's basically because, although well-meaning, I'm sure, if you don't understand physiology and you can't do the appropriate lab testing, you can't detox someone appropriately. Some of the tests that are included in my blood detective detox workup include things like urinary vitamin C levels, not blood levels. Although sometimes I will measure those, we need to make sure that the person is fully saturated with vitamin C, because as I'll discuss towards the end of the show, vitamin C is required for specific areas of detoxification. It's not enough that some of you take vitamin C. You have to be saturated with vitamin C. Do you need ascorbic acid, which will generally lower your pH to a more physiologic pH? Or should you use a buffered form of vitamin C? That depends not just on blood pH, but on many other factors. So I measure urinary vitamin C. I do a test of urine use of vitamin C. In other words, there's absorption of vitamin C, there's saturation of your needs of vitamin C, but if vitamin C is all oxidized, which is bad, well, that's not good either. That's a toxic process in and of itself. I measure something called malonyldialdehyde, which is an oxidative marker. Some of the major forms of detoxification in the body require antioxidants. And some of you are thinking, well, I eat plenty of fruits and vegetables. I even take antioxidant supplements. I take superfoods. That does not mean you will absorb and or concentrate in your body and specific organs that you're trying to motivate to detox the amounts and types of antioxidants for detoxification. If any practitioners out there are doing detoxification on their patients and you are not measuring body composition through what is known as a bioimpedance method, you're missing the boat. Think about it. How can someone know, for example, that you need, let's say, antioxidants or proteins for detoxification, which is generally true overall? But if you don't know the metabolic rate of the individual, how do you know the dose to give them? So in other words, a very large person will probably need a different dose of detoxifying agents than a smaller person, or someone who is on medications or has a certain genetic makeup or other health problems. All of this can affect metabolic rate and the percentage of muscle, water, and fat in the body. And the percentage of muscle, water, and fat in the body is essential for making sure that detoxifications work. If you're feeling wonderful after a detox effort and you've lost lean organ mass, you have actually hurt yourself and you've probably reduced your health span and maybe even your lifespan, considering that body composition testing is one of the most predictive laboratory tests for how long and how well a person lives. So I check body composition, urinary vitamin C, urinary vitamin C oxidation, overall oxidative stress in the body. I also check something called salivary nitric oxide. There's many different tests that I will measure to personalize detox efforts. And detoxification, for those experienced detoxifiers as well as the newbies, is not just based upon taking nutrients. Of course, it matters what foods you're consuming, and you can certainly adapt a generally healthy lifestyle, which again I'll repeat throughout this show today, which might include the elimination of all refined and processed sugars, for example, and carbohydrates and white flours and gluten and GMOs, and eating lower down on the food chain and eating foods as organically as possible and drinking lots of clean water. That's all, of course, important, but it's very generalized. A specific individual might need to emphasize certain nutrients in certain foods. And, of course, if they're malabsorbing those foods, if they're not absorbing appropriately, then that throws everything off because, as I've said throughout practically all of my shows, you are not what you eat. You are what you absorb. And when it comes to detoxification, if you do not absorb properly, you cannot detox properly. So once again, if you've done detox efforts, but you've never checked tests of malabsorption, you cannot be detoxing fully. Some of those tests include tests of intestinal permeability and stomach acid and pancreatic enzyme levels, bile excretion, and also I check antibodies that can be produced by your immune system that might attack your stomach lining or your intestinal lining, which will interfere with your absorption. So these are fundamental, not just for any health effort, but certainly for true detox. And I believe, I should say, that going through periodic detox efforts are an important part of maintaining your health and jumpstarting the road to health. But you need to know what detox is. And perhaps even more importantly, what detox is not. So let me summarize something here for a second. I said earlier that there are two phases of taking a toxin or toxins and turning them from a form of that toxin that the body is holding on to, it's generally fat soluble, and converting it into a form that is water soluble that can be excreted. Well, toxicologists have specific names for these pathways. They actually exist, and each of these pathways require specific nutrients at specific doses, to, again, based on your level of toxicity, what the toxins are, the entirety of the rest of your health, how quickly you want results, and many, many other factors. So there is known, there's what is known as phase one, cytochrome P450 detoxification, and there's what's called phase two, conjugation of toxins. So you're exposed to these toxins, and then they need to be moved through phase one and then phase two. But as I said earlier, if those toxins get stuck between phase one and phase two, what's called the intermediate phase, that original toxin becomes much more toxic and can damage DNA, your genetic material, and other proteins in the body, including your RNA, and create many more oxidants, which are bad molecules that cause destructive processes. And within these phases of detoxification, phase two involves seven key specific detox mechanisms known as conjugation mechanisms. I'll mention them briefly, for those of you who are interested. There's what's known as glutathione conjugation, which involves the use of N-acetylcysteine or oral glutathione. And for those who are thinking, oh no, not oral glutathione, it's not absorbed, that is wrong. Oral glutathione is absorbed, except I don't prefer to use it for a lot of reasons, which I can't go into in this show. But glutathione conjugation can be upregulated or improved with N-acetylcysteine and nutritional compounds that help to increase bilirubin production, such as taurine, an amino acid, and also DHA, which is a derivative of an omega-3 fatty acid called docosahexaenoic acid. And then there is sulfation. Again, I'm talking about the seven subclasses of conjugation detox pathways, part of the phase two pathway. So I'll go through them quickly. Sulfation, which can be helped by many nutrients, including melatonin and vitamin D3. And then there's glycine conjugation, which can be helped from with the amino acid glycine, but also specific plant acids. Oh no, am I saying an acid is actually helpful in the body? Yes, that is what I'm saying. There is boswellic acid, for example. There are many others. And then there is taurine conjugation, and there's glucuronidation, acetylation, methylation. Those are the major pathways. The point I'm trying to emphasize here for you listeners is that you must work with someone with knowledge of biochemistry that can assess these pathways directly and indirectly and feed them with the right nutrition and lifestyle measures. Otherwise, you're not really detoxifying. And this is key. Various toxins, we know the specific pathways that they tax the body through. So certain toxins require and upregulate the glutathione conjugation pathway, others glucuronidation, others acetylation, others sulfation. I think you get the picture. There is no, oh, this is the best detoxifying supplement because it says detox on it. Or my friend tried this and they felt great and they detoxed and they saw stuff come out of their stool. That's not detoxification. There's also a difference between detoxifying harmful chemicals, transforming them into less harmful chemicals that can be easily excreted from the body, and just eliminating them from the bowel. There's a difference between elimination and detoxification. Obviously, we need both. And for those of you who just must know a list of nutrients that might help enhance phase one detoxification and the intermediate phase I mentioned and phase two, here's just a quick list. So phase one detoxification requires vitamins B1, B2, B3, folic acid, vitamin C, the plant flavonoids, phospholipids, compounds known as indoles, pyridoxine, which is B6, cobalamin, iron, zinc, selenium, and magnesium. Every toxicology book lists these nutrients as being required for detoxification. So why is it that regular medicine and regular allopaths don't seem to know about detoxification and these nutrients? Remember, nutrients are a waste of time and nutrients don't work. We hear all the time in the media. Well, the reason why they don't know is because they're ignorant. That's just a fact. The intermediate phase is supported by antioxidants overall, but specifically vitamins A, C, and E, also the flavonoids, and coenzyme Q10 in its active form. Now, for those of you out there who think, oh, again, I'm taking these or I'm going to take these and upregulate, you have to know your absorption, you have to know your dose. Your dosing should be based on your lean body mass and your metabolic rate and any other abnormal factors and all other health issues in your life. I have a blood detective longevity questionnaire, which helps me pinpoint specific areas of the body that require health enhancement and or probably detoxification. And then through a conversation with my patients as well, and then putting together a list of specific tests, not just tests of certain specific toxins, but of the body overall. I have a longevity detox panel of tests that a person would have to visit a dozen or so different doctors to have assessed. And for those of you who are as frustrated as some of my patients are with their doctors, we realize that even if you could convince these doctors to do these different tests, they would not do all of the tests at once. And if you could convince 10 or 12 doctors to do all of the tests, none of those doctors would talk. So we really do need an integrated approach. That's the approach that I use. I think in an integrated, holistic way, so it's just natural to me. Now, moving on to phase two. Phase two detox requires flavonoids and a compound we'll find in cruciferous vegetables known as indole-3-carbinol. You'd need to eat plates and plates and bowls of cruciferous vegetables to get enough indole-3-carbinol to significantly upregulate your phase two detox. Also, phase two requires something called isoflavonoids and agallic acid and also garlic. And as a quick summary, those phase two conjugation pathways I mentioned a few minutes ago, like glutathione conjugation, requires glutathione and B6 and NAC and dill and caraway and the brassica family of plants. Then the amino acid conjugation pathway requires glycine, and generally a low protein diet would inhibit amino acid conjugation or a low glycine diet. Then there's methylation, which requires methylated forms of nutrients. And other nutrients called lipotrophic nutrients, such as choline, methionine, betaine, folic acid, B12. The sulfation pathway requires cysteine, methionine, a micro mineral known as molybdenum. And the acetylation pathway requires pantothenic acid, which is B5. And deficiencies of B5 or vitamin C or B2 would downregulate the acetylation pathway, which means toxins that require these pathways would then accumulate in the body. Then there's glucuronidation, and we need glucuronic acid, which is upregulated in the body with certain types of fish oils. So you can see that this is a complex area, and eating in a generally healthy way is simply not going to do it. You have to know what you need. So again, the title of my new book, which is not out yet, called The True Detox, will outline how individuals can assess themselves, but do need the help of practitioners like myself to figure out through biochemistry, testing, questionnaires, and a conversation exactly how to adjust their detox pathways and to know toxicity has been reduced and removed. So here's some practical points. So you might want to get a pen and write some of this down if you're not already feverishly writing things down at the moment. So number one, toxins just they create a burden on every cell, tissue, and organ of the body. The whole body compensates for any toxin anywhere in the body, as far as I'm concerned. So some fundamental things we do need for detoxification, which absolutely must be balanced for the person, but in a general sense, we need a certain ratio of what are known as soluble and insoluble fibers. So plant fibers, including, you know, psyllium seeds and agar and pectin and various plant gums, are very, very important to bind to toxins. And the amount and type of fibers should be determined for each person. It's not just all fiber is good and let's just take it. Some fiber can make toxicity worse. For example, the soluble forms of fiber can slow down what's known as transit time in the intestinal tract, keeping toxins in longer. Probiotics, those healthy bacteria, play a major role in detoxification and helping to balance the immune system. But not all probiotics are the same. So through my research of probiotics, I developed a supplement called Detox Colonize Superbugs, which I combined with a pharmaceutical-grade Saccharomyces boulardii, which is a healthy form of yeast that I dose based on the person's metabolic rate and other factors. Now, most of the time, probiotics cannot help, but sometimes they're just a waste of time. Just because you take probiotics do not mean that they'll stick in your gut. So the environment of the intestinal tract must be pH balanced. And usually I'll supplement my patients not only with the proper probiotics, but also something called detox immunoglobulin G. Immunoglobulins are a very important part of the immune system in the gut and in the body overall that helped, among other things, they help probiotics, healthy bacteria, stick to the intestinal wall. They help plug up leaky gut situations. And I believe that a very important assessment test for general health and also before beginning any serious detox efforts involves a peripheral blood smear, where blood work is examined under a high-powered microscope by someone who has real expertise in this. There are a lot of practitioners out there with no real training whatsoever. They take weekend courses. I don't care if it's month-long courses. If they didn't study this in a professional school, they shouldn't be doing it. I've seen so many mistakes in this area that it's very disheartening. But one could see Candida blastospores live under a microscope and other bacteria that secrete toxins known as endotoxins. And these bacteria include certain organisms called rods and cocci and L-forms. So again, in order to figure out the right detoxification foods for the individual, and or nutrients, we need to know what we're detoxifying. We need to know what bugs are there, and almost everyone's got them. So to backtrack for a second, it's important first, before beginning detoxification efforts, to complete detailed health appraisal questionnaires like my detoxification questionnaire, which identifies weak areas in the body with a number system that I interpret. Then we decide on specific tests. Then we can figure out exactly what someone needs to detoxify. And I really should say, any serious detoxification effort really should be incorporated simultaneously with an overall health effort. In other words, if you think that you're going to target your liver only during detox, that's kind of a myth. You might be able to push more or less certain detox efforts in the liver, but again, anything you consume has to go through your gut, has to affect your immune system, will affect your hormones. We have to look at all body systems. You just have to do that. I want to tell you briefly as well about five tests that I ask virtually all of my patients to do under my supervision, which once they learn how to interpret them, they can repeat them 3 or 4 times over the course of the year or so for the rest of their lives and identify when there are weak areas occurring, weaknesses happening in various body systems, and correct them before there are big symptoms, not just from detoxification, but from health. So I call them functional tests. One is called a vitamin C flush, where a person would take a pharmaceutical-grade buffered form of vitamin C powder every 30 minutes until they have a watery diarrhea. The amount of vitamin C a person needs is not that much vitamin C that creates diarrhea, but it's 2/3 of that amount. And as a person gets healthier, their need for vitamin C will go down and down, and their stool will become a little looser from time to time, and then the person knows how to cut back. Vitamin C is required for nearly 3,000 enzymes, and it's the most abundant nutrient stored in the adrenal glands, which must be truly supported, not theoretically supported, for any serious detox effort. Then there is a charcoal transit time. So I use a purified form of activated charcoal, and what that will do is after a person has a bowel movement, whenever that occurs, I have them take a handful of charcoal capsules. Now, charcoal capsules are not absorbed. They will color the stool black. And based on the time it takes between the person swallowing those capsules and seeing those capsules tells me their transit time. Now, by the way, for those of you thinking, oh, well, I have bowel movements every day, so I don't have a problem with my transit time, that is a misinterpretation. There is a difference between the number of bowel movements every day and the transit time, and that's all I really can say about that now. The purpose of me describing these tests, including the charcoal transit time, is that if it's too long or too short, it tells me about malabsorption and or toxicity, and we use that test as a baseline so we can fix it. Then I do what's called a zinc taste test. Zinc is required for nearly 200 different enzymes, many of which are involved in detoxification and immunity and tissue repair. And the test, like all tests, is not 100% accurate, but when considered in context with my full blood detective detox panel of testing and questionnaires and conversation, it may have more or less of an impact on the individual. And then there is what I call an enzyme loading test. Enzymes are required to absorb your foods, but also to reduce antibody formation in the blood and to reduce inflammation. If you do not produce enough enzymes, you cannot absorb properly, and your tissues will break down, you will be toxic, and you must correct your enzymes. Not all enzyme supplements are the same. Enzyme levels should be checked in the blood. A person should go through this functional assessment as well. And then I have what is known as a betaine hydrochloride test. Betaine hydrochloride is stomach acid. And again, this test and all of the information that I present during this show and every other show, again, you should not be doing these things at home by yourself. So here's a disclaimer. All this information is for educational purposes. Do not try any of it. It can be harmful. But when used under the right circumstances, it can be very powerful. And for those of you just trying to put all this information together, again, think about the fact that the human body has very intricate detoxification abilities, but they get a bit clogged up because of the exposure to toxins in our air, in our water, in our foods, and toxins that we make in our bodies, medications, genetic glitches, and all of that. But it is absolutely possible for each and every one of you to improve your body's detoxification ability. But if you're part of the blood detective revolution, which anyone listening to the show is, I bet you didn't know that, you are thinking now, how do I know I'm really detoxing? Feeling good is not enough. I have many people who come into me that feel wonderful, that come in for general checkups, and I look at their labs, and they've got major disease determinants there. They have abnormalities they didn't know. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but I've had all the blood tests you can name. Well, I challenge you there, because I've heard that a lot, and almost always I see either, number one, the tests are limited, number two, wrong tests are performed, number three, they're interpreted incorrectly. So you need to know if you truly are getting results beyond just feeling good. If you feel good and your chemistries are good in all these areas that we're talking about, and as many areas as possible, then that adds up to a reduction in overall morbidity and a reduction in overall mortality and an increase in health span. So how do nutritional compounds in our foods or nutritional supplements affect detoxification? So I'm going to say it another way than I have so far in the show. So for example, vitamin C. That helps to mobilize certain toxins, not all toxins. Vitamin C does bind specifically to a number of metals, not all metals. And if your variety of toxicity involves increased oxidative stress, which I measure through a chemical called malonyldialdehyde, which is one of the more accepted measures of oxidant stress, then you would take vitamin C and the other nutritional synergists until that malonyldialdehyde level goes down to normal. Again, you don't just do these things until you feel well. The B-complex vitamins in foods or in supplements, they help as cofactors for various liver enzymes which run certain detox pathways. Lipoic acid, also in the B vitamin family, one of my favorite nutrients, and I make a pharmaceutical grade lipoic acid, helps protect the liver, as many of you know, but is also a water and fat soluble antioxidant. So toxins that have accumulated in water soluble compartments in the body and toxins that have accumulated in fat soluble compartments might be removed in part by lipoic acid. There is no single best detoxifier, which should be common sense to you now from listening to the show, because there could be many toxins. And a person may have many nutritional deficiencies or malabsorption issues and other lifestyle factors where they need a full array of detoxifiers, but dosed appropriately based on all of those and other factors. N-acetylcysteine enhances a specific pathway in the liver called glutathione conjugation. Cysteine helps support the sulfation pathway in the body. Methionine is an amino acid that upregulates what are called methylation. So for toxins that require more methyl donors, methionine is important. And there are many others. Now, we can't rely on just foods for detoxification, although of course we should eat more plant-based foods and fruits and vegetables and lower down in the food chain, for example, but we cannot rely on the foods for containing the pharmaceutical doses of specific potential detoxifiers for a given individual. Remember, you're not what you eat, and if you don't know your metabolic rate, you can't know the dose. And if you don't know what and how much you absorb, once again, you cannot know the dose. So let me talk a little bit about the different classes of toxins so you'll get a better idea of why we need to be so specific. You know, I don't mean to make this topic overly complicated. It just is complicated. But with the right testing and listening and questionnaires and trial and error, we can get this right. And I do get this right with most everyone. Let me ask you all a question. Do you think, after what we've discussed so far, that hormone toxins or toxins in the air or in our food supply, such as organic halogens like PCBs, which are now persistent in the human body, and heavy metals, do you think they're all detoxified the same way? Of course not. So it's important that we support, in a general sense, all the detox pathways at once and then emphasize specific ones, but in the context of other health issues and goals as well. So I developed several products. Four of them are known as Detox, spelled D-T-O-X, which you can find on blooddetective.com under the supplement section. Detox, D-T-O-X 1, 2, 3, and 4. They are superfood products that have different colors based on the emphasis of specific plant products in high enough concentrations where you might be able, in addition to a well-balanced, specifically personalized diet, various detox pathways. And there's been a lot of study on the ingredients in these products for truly being detoxifiers. So it's not just hearsay. So I start with those things. I run those functional tests that I described earlier in the show. I go through the health history. I go through developing a specific list of personalized tests. I start with what I call my blood detective toxicity panel, but then I further personalize my list of test considerations based upon the details of questionnaires and a conversation so we can get this exactly right for people. Now, some of you are thinking, that's a lot of testing. Well, I can make guesses as well, and I often do, but if we truly want to detoxify for real, again, we want to, as the book title is, I keep saying, the true detox, we need to do certain tests. It's very important in my workup of my patients, too, to consider exercise, because exercise, given specific types of exercise, duration and intensity of exercise and how often it's done, can increase or decrease nutritional products required specifically for detoxification, which can worsen detox efforts or can help detox efforts. So, again, all of these factors are very important. A few other general concepts that are important for detox. Number one, you do not have to have symptoms during a detox process to detoxify. On the other hand, you might have symptoms. And those symptoms might help the practitioner, it certainly helps me, put my attention to one or more organs that might have produced those detox symptoms, which are telling me I need to emphasize more those different organ systems. So I might emphasize my Detox 2 product more than my Detox 1 product at different times during my detox efforts with a patient to eventually have those symptoms go away. I have to consider what medications or recreational drugs that you might be taking during the detox process, because we actually know how many drugs are detoxed through all those complicated specific detox pathways I mentioned. And we also know which nutrients are required. But I want to remind you all of something. I did a radio show. It's about 15 minutes long. You'll find it on my blog called What's in Those Supplements. And that title I took from the New York Times article, which appeared a year or so ago when the New York State Attorney General's office did an investigation of store-bought nutrients and found that most of them are crap. They're junk. And many of you are saying, well, how can that be? Because I've taken them and I've helped myself and I feel great. Number one, you can feel great for lots of reasons. Number two, they analyze the nutrients. I did the same thing when I worked for Fox News many years ago. No one cared at the time that most of the supplements we analyzed had nothing in them. So I've bypassed that with my blood detective line of nutrients. I'm not saying that I have every nutrient that a person needs, but I did need to ensure that I had high quality nutrients to get real results with people. So please listen to my show, What's in Those Supplements, found on my blog. And you need to do these things yourself because toxicologists and most physicians, they have very little or no interest in detoxification. If you mention detoxification to them, they immediately think you're a drug addict and they're thinking of drug detoxification, which is quite sad, actually. Some of the other questions the audience has sent to me recently in anticipation of the show is, you know, how long should you detox? There is no set time for detoxification. First of all, you should be detoxing every day. And you might say, well, what does that mean? I'd feel terrible every day. No, you're forgetting that you don't have to have symptoms during detox. If your body is, you know, going through a nice hum and steady state detox, you'll be detoxing every day. But from time to time, you might need to boost certain areas of detox, just like you might exercise on a regular basis. But, for example, with myself being a marathon runner and a weight trainer, that there are some days I might work out more or less in certain areas to boost certain areas that I want. And another question is, can my detoxification efforts make me feel worse? Yes, they can. And if they don't, that doesn't mean things are not working. But testing tells us. So do questionnaires. What about juice fasting? Well, number one, juicing or detoxifying, I should say, detoxifying with water is never smart because water does not have the nutrients that these detox pathways require. Juice fasting is better probably because depending on the juices you have and the nutritional concentrations, at least you're covering some bases. But again, you don't know how much you're absorbing or actually getting in these fruits and vegetables. So of course you need these fruits and vegetables. Yes, juicing is important, but I always will have my patients do certain juicing, but I'll have them add at minimum my detox 1 through 4 and sometimes my detox 5 products as a basic approach, and then we have to further personalize that approach through, again, questionnaires, a detailed conversation I would have with you, and specific testing. I want to spend the rest of the time that we have together talking about what I call detox lies, that detox deception, methods of detoxification out there that simply do not work, or at least don't work to the extent that they're claimed to work. For example, low temperature saunas do detox urea and ammonia through the skin. They also mobilize the lymphatic system, but you're not going to detox heavy metals through the skin, so don't think that's going to happen through a low-temperature sauna. And my favorite, but not in a good way, are ionic foot baths. Now, many of you are saying, what do you mean? I had an ionic foot bath. For those of you who don't know, it consists of putting your foot in water, and there's a metal grid that's placed in the water, and then there's an electric current put through that grid. And when I had this done, the people who came to see me were clearly honest people. They believed that this was detoxification, but they were fooled. They said to me when I had my foot in this bath, and when these green, brownish colors started to appear in the water, they said, there you go. The toxins are being pulled out of your foot from your body, and then the metals are there, and the green stuff is the gallbladder. It's not true. This, to me, reminds me of one of these old, you know, snake oil tricks you'd find in the Old West where the guy comes into town and he says, let's do some detoxification, and then the magic show begins. The colors are just the ionization of the minerals that are normally present in the water and on the surface of the foot that are oxidized and therefore change color. That's all this means. There has never been any study to show anything else happening here. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but I have to be honest. Now, I said this to a patient who said, I'm feeling so much better. I did the ionic foot bath. Look, the mind is a powerful thing, and it simply doesn't work. We mentioned detox teas. A tea cannot possibly know what nutritional elements you need for your special brand of detoxification. I'm not saying they're necessarily harmful, but teas are generally way too dilute to be useful, at least in a very real way for a person with a significant problem. And once again, I have no doubt that some of you are thinking, no, that's wrong. I heard of someone that healed himself with some of these methods or with the teas, the ionic foot baths. I've challenged many practitioners and people to show me evidence of this other than their word, which sadly is just not enough, and I've never been able to substantiate any of it. Plus, when I look at their blood work, that really shows me blood, urine, saliva tests, if true detoxification has occurred, I've never found it. Let's talk about colonics. First, I'll begin by saying that there is a place for colonics. If through other methods, if I cannot mobilize detoxification, or I should really say elimination through the colon, through other means, then I understand the concepts. Here is what a naturalist might say. Well, we do a colonic because it removes toxins from the colon. You'll see all of this stuff come out, and then sometimes we'll add in some herbs through a rectal method and maybe some probiotics. Except, I believe that the following occurs. Number one, when you do colonic therapy, you stretch out the colon wall. It gets weaker and weaker, which is not what you want. You want to improve the tone of the intestinal wall. I have methods of doing that. Just my vitamin C flush method does that. And the colonic also causes an abnormally high elimination of not just fecal matter, which is a good thing, but the mucus protective layer in the colon, which contains much of the immune system, can be completely eradicated, producing an artificially clean colon surface that's very dangerous, that can produce more leakiness in the colon. We're weakening the normal contraction and tone of the bowel. Many people get far too many colonics. And again, just because you feel good when you remove these things doesn't mean you've detoxed anything. Have you eliminated something? Of course, but you've also eliminated all your endogenously produced, your naturally produced probiotics, which no matter how good quality, even my probiotics are not your genetic probiotics. So there are times, again, when colonics are recommended by me, but they're very few and far between. And for the reasons I stated and other reasons, that effort needs to be supported more carefully with my other types of assessments. Let's move on to another fantasy about detoxification, chlorophyll. Of course, chlorophyll is probably a healthy thing. It's a plant fiber. It's a overpriced plant fiber, but it's claimed to be a powerful detoxifier. And again, I say a powerful detoxifier of what? And how do we know we're detoxifying? Chlorophyll as a fiber, fibers have the potential of binding to some toxins, not other toxins. We're not going to seriously detoxify heavy metals, for example, with chlorophyll, but chlorophyll and a healthy diet, meaning one figured out for the person along with other potent detoxifiers, will eliminate metals and transform estrogens. But chlorophyll alone, no, not going to work. How about mud packing? This is insulting to me as someone who understands physiology, and on behalf of my listeners and patients, those who promote mud packing as a true detoxifier, it simply cannot work. Can it moisturize the skin? Can it remove some surface toxins? Yes, but that's about it. How about coconut oil swishing? In the mouth, yes, if you have bacterial overgrowth of toxins, oil swishing will help bind many of these toxins and remove them, but that's not going to make a huge impact on the body, no matter how many times you swish coconut oil all day long, because the problems of toxicity in the mouth are generally problems of toxicity in the body, which are just showing up in the mouth. So we need a thorough detoxification effort. And what about detoxification creams and ointments? No, there is no way any cream or ointment you place on the skin will have a true effect upon detoxification. How about herbal and different vitamin and mineral compounds? Yes, when properly used, when these products are not loaded with toxins themselves, which many of them are, then they could be very, very useful. And I use many vitamins, minerals, herbs, and foods for detoxification. Those are the tools of detoxification, but their types, their ratios, their doses must all be based on the individual. So in summary, detoxification is the process of removing toxins. A toxin is an abnormal substance that, if left unchecked, can cause all sorts of deleterious effects on the body, from fatigue to headaches to you name the disease, in my opinion. A knowledge of the detox pathways, the phase one, the intermediate phase, the phase two, and other detox pathways is essential for true detoxification efforts. One must, at minimum, complete detailed questionnaires of all body systems, have those reviewed with someone like myself who knows how to interpret them, who has a background in medicine, in nutrition, in biochemistry, and years of experience in detoxification and health. And very importantly, some fundamental laboratory tests, either blood, urine, and saliva, depending on your needs, should be performed as a baseline to assess overall health in multiple organ systems at a single time. You put all these things together and you have something real to build health. You have something real to detox and to eliminate, not just feeling better for a day or two and some superficial deception of detoxification. So please, as a reminder, post your comments on my blog at www.integratednutrition.com. Click on the blog section or send me your questions at info@integratednutritionny.com or info@blooddetective.com. You can call and schedule as a patient to 914-242-8844. Now, the next show, again, every Saturday at 1 o'clock on PRN, is Glutenaholic, the title of another book that will be released very soon, where I'll dispel all sorts of gluten toxicity and health myths and truths. You know, for example, is gluten bad for you? How do you know? Are there any ways of compensating for gluten exposure? What's the difference between celiac disease and non-celiac gluten sensitivity and gluten allergy and digestive difficulties and all sorts of things you will simply not hear anywhere on the next show, Glutenaholic. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in again to Ask the Blood Detective. And for those of you interested in seeing me once again, but are not quite sure what you're getting into, you can call my office at 914-242-8844 and request a 15-minute consultation. But please only call if you're potentially interested as a patient. That consultation, there is no charge, but it is not about asking general questions. It is about specifically what you want to accomplish in your health and if I'm the right person to help you. So have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next Saturday at 1 o'clock on PRN. Take care and be well. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You got the liquor, start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay, the things that you might have done.